say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Adam, the perfect man put in perfect circumstances in a perfect environment with only one rule, he blew it. And he blew it for all of us, since all of us are from Adam and he's been passing down that DNA for all these approximately 6,000 years, and one guy messed it up, and because of Adam, all of us now are natural born sinners. Hey, Adam, way to go, buddy, right? Way to go. But the truth is that if we would have been there, we would have done the same thing. It's easy for us to look and go, well, Adam, you messed it up for all of us. But the truth is, because there was a universal cause, some of you guys are sitting here thinking, well, why does Adam get the blame? She messed up before he did. Because when you have a universal cause, you can have a universal cure. That one man gets the blame, and the second Adam, Jesus Christ, can come and can fix it all up. That's the good news. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Adam. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life, that you can be cleansed of your sins. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What do we learn? Well, we learn and under innocence, we learn that one guy messed it up, and therefore the plan to fix it was that there was going to come another, this time God-man, that was going to fix it. So we find the need of a Savior. When you get underneath of conscience, they say, those that are heavy dispensationalists, they say that, and then we went into a period called conscience. That means with knowledge, con, with, science, knowledge. Conscience is, this means that you do what you do knowing whether, in general, whether it's right or wrong. All of us, according to the book of Romans, even Gentiles, he said, who have never heard the law of God before, all of us have the law of God written in our hearts. And it testifies the same, that no matter where you look around the world, that all of us, in every nation, of every country, whether that's a Christian country or whether they believe the Jewish faith or whether they're Muslims, all of us have the general law of God written inside of us to know we shouldn't lie, that we shouldn't commit adultery, that we shouldn't cheat people. All of us know deep down in us, because we all get that twinge when we take God's name in vain, to know that it's not good to take God's name in vain. And all of us, whether you were in a Christian family or not, all of us were informed by God, because it was hard written onto us when we were born, that there is a God that exists that made all of this, even his eternal power and his Godhead, so that we are without excuse. So even underneath of conscience, if you just take a person born that never goes to church, never hears about God, nobody ever tells them the Ten Commandments, there still is enough information in the heart of man about right and wrong that they become a law, Paul said, unto themselves. In other words, when we do something that we know it's wrong, James said, he that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's what? It's sin. So when you know the right thing to do, and even if we're not talking about a person who grew up in the Christian faith, even if we're just talking about someone in let's just say the farthest reaches of Africa that never heard about Jesus Christ, never heard about salvation by grace through faith, there is enough in us to know when we do wrong and when we do right, from the conscience with knowledge when we violate something we know to be right. Well, how did that end up? There's no written law, particularly by God, at that point. How did it turn out when we're just going based upon conscience? And the answer to that is Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. I'm not even going to ask you to turn there. It goes like this. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What happens to men if you put them in a garden in perfect circumstances, perfectly sinless people with only one rule? The answer is they mess it up. What if we're going to operate on the basis of conscience with just doing what we know to be right today based on the information that we have hardwired into us to know what's right and wrong? Well, the answer is you let that run on for a couple thousand years, 1,800 years, and you'll find that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God got so fed up with every imagination of the thoughts of men's hearts was only evil continually, constantly focusing on, dwelling on, doing wrong stuff that they knew in themselves was wrong. And it repented the Lord that he had made man. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repents me. He's like, I'm very sorrowful that I even made them. How do you like that conscience thing? What do men do underneath of? Let your conscience be your guide, Jiminy Cricket. And I'll tell you this, where that ends up is only evil continually if you give that thing enough time. In fact, is there any good news to come out of that? God's going to wipe the whole world out. We learn from Innocence that when one guy messed it up, God could provide a program that one guy could fix it. A universal cause, a universal cure. When you come out of conscience, when every imagination of the hearts of man was only evil continually, here's what we find, that if anybody's going to get on the boat to be saved from the wrath to come, they're going to need the grace of God. Chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 8, but Noah found grace. The very essence of grace is that God doesn't give us what we have coming. Don't think that Noah fell off the perfect wagon, because he didn't. The only way Noah got on the boat was he had to operate in faith when God extended him grace. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet. God said, I'm going to flood the earth. He moved with fear by faith. He believed God was going to flood the earth. He moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. We learn the importance of grace, that God's going to extend grace, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But for Noah to get on the boat, he's going to have to function on the basis of faith to believe that God wasn't kidding around when he said, I'm going to flood the earth. 120 years. So we learn that God is willing, even with men at their worst state, that God is willing to extend grace to give us something we don't deserve, as long as we're willing to function and operate on the basis of faith to believe him. Did you ever stop and ask yourself, what would have happened to Noah if he wouldn't have operated by faith? Hey, here's the answer. He would have died. And his family would have died. And it was by him operating on the basis of faith that he built the ark, and then it not only saved his family, but condemned the world, and he became the heir of righteousness. So now we start lining up some things. From Innocence, we learn universal cause, universal cure, that if one man messed it up, another man could come and fix it up, that Jesus, the Christ. We learn from Conscience that leave us to our conscience being our guide, and we end up in a terrible, disastrous mess. Even though we don't have the written law of God, if we're just going on what we know, we still end up, sin is running rampant, so much so that God wants to destroy the whole earth, but he offers grace, and that if he would extend his grace to people that operate on the basis of faith. The next thing you find out is the law. God brings in the law to the Jewish people. And what do we learn about the law? Well, what we know is by the time you get to Isaiah's day, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. What about the law? What if you spell it out? Maybe the problem, God, was you should have spelled it out for them. You should write it down. God's like, all right, I'll write it down. So he wrote it down. And not only the Ten Commandments, but he gave them more laws. Someone said there's over 600 laws, commands of God in the Old Testament. So if you want rules, God, he can give you some rules. But the truth is, even with the rules, as God spells it out very clearly and directly, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But then the good news is, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Man in innocence messes it up. Man under conscience, total train wreck. Give human beings the law of God. Could men and women live a good enough life to get into heaven if they knew what the rules were? And the answer is no way. In fact, in the book of Galatians, God writes these words, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. There's that Jesus again. And it started all the way back in the book of Genesis, where when one man messed it up, there was the promise that one man was going to come and fix what that one man had messed up. That when one man messed it up, and therefore we all fall under condemnation, then one man is going to come, this Jesus, and he's going to fix everything that was broken. Under conscience, we learn we're a total train wreck. And if we would respond to God by faith to believe what he said, and we would function that way, that God would extend grace to us and that we could get to heaven when we really don't deserve to go to heaven. Noah did not deserve to go to heaven. And the truth is neither do you and neither do I. Anybody this morning, just curious, let's just flash everything we've said, thought, and did on the big screen where all of us can watch it just for the last 3 months, 6 months, year? What about a week? Would you like everything that was said in your home, every thought that you had about people, put on the big screen for all of us to be able to view for our viewing pleasure? And the answer to that is absolutely not. Under the law, we learn that no man is justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. To which you would ask, well, why then would God give a law if he knew man couldn't keep it? Because the law, he said in the book of Galatians, was our schoolmaster, our teacher, to bring us unto Christ. That the law showed us our sin. Well, what about if we just did what we thought was right? And then you get into the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 12, verse number 8. Don't turn there. You shall not do after all the things we do here this day, he writes, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. What if we just have a culture where we disregard the laws of God and let's just do today whatever you think is right, which is quickly approaching where we are getting to be in the United States of America. And I would just ask you this, how's that going to go? The book of Judges tells us how that would go. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges chapter 17, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When you get to Judges 21, and in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I'll tell you what the book of Judges is. Another train wreck. A train wreck when we're operating on let your conscience be your guide. It's a train wreck when we go, well, let's just all do whatever you think is right. It ended up with a train wreck. In fact, the Lord said these words in Proverbs, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. And even in Proverbs, it says in chapter 21, verse 2, every way of man is right in his own eyes. Listen, if you and I didn't think it was right, we wouldn't be doing it, would we? And how in the world we human beings, as messed up as we are, we can just justify it away. I mean, we can steal stuff, we justify it away. We can cheat on our spouse, we justify it away. It's not my fault, it's their fault. We can lie, we can manipulate people, we can horribly mistreat people, bring folks into slavery, and we can explain it, we can explain it away. We can explain away why we don't give God his first place in our life, because we're so busy. We can explain why we don't give him his day, which is the Lord's day, which is Sunday. We can explain that thing away till we're blue in the face, because everything that a man does is right in his own eyes, even when we're completely wrong. Because the story of human history is, it's pitiful. In innocence, we mess up. Under conscience, we don't do right. When we're deciding to do underneath of the law, it shows us our sin, and nobody has ever kept the law good enough to get into heaven on their own as a normal human being. The truth is even when we're doing every man what's right in his own eyes, we end up with a total disaster of a culture. And it makes you wonder why in the world God would mess with a bunch of people like us. Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Truth is, it's love. And that's what John 3:16 tells us. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Ephesians for just a moment. You're in Romans. It's just a couple of books over to the right. And I would ask you to turn to the book of Ephesians. Because right now, this is pretty much just a bunch of bad news, predominantly, isn't it? And let's just all go to church and let the preacher beat us down and tell us how worthless we are. The only good thing about me is, I'm telling you, I'm worthless too. So we're all worthless. And you might say, well, if we're so worthless, why did God save us? Because he loved us. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. At our best state. Man, at our best state, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. At our best state. You might say, well, I didn't hear that in church growing up. Well, they probably didn't preach the Bible then. That's what the Bible teaches us. Because this is the great news about the Bible. That when we have messed up over and over and over and over and over and over, when we have done things our own way instead of God's way, when we've disregarded his laws, that God still loves us. And all the way back from the time of the Garden of Eden, in innocence, as soon as man messed it up, God immediately brought hope that one day a Savior was going to come called the seed of the woman, and he was going to make a way when there ain't no way. He's going to make a way when there ain't no way. Because you and I trying to get to heaven on our own, listen, there ain't no way. That's the ain't no way. The way is, and Jesus even said it himself, I am the way. What's the truth? I am the truth. Where can I get eternal life? I am the life. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. As God brought a plan into the world, and this plan involved, one man messed it up, so one man was going to fix it, the God-man, Jesus Christ. We would know when this God-man would come on the scene because he would be born in Bethlehem. He would come from the Jewish family. I'm not going to give you the whole list of things. We know about the time that he was going to come on the earth because of the work that the information that God gave to Daniel. We know where he was going to grow up. We know what kind of ministry he was going to do. We know he was going to be born of a virgin. We know that he was going to be betrayed by a friend, that he was going to die on a tree as a substitute. What we know all about this stuff because of the Bible. And that here comes in, and listen, this is the pitiful thing. We've heard this story so much, so many times as believers. It's almost like it's old hat. But I pray to God that there is somebody here today, that maybe this is the first time that God opened up your eyes to this fact, that you are a sinner and you are in need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't you remember when you first heard the good news? The good news, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And as they were singing that song, he made a way when there ain't no way. Let me tell you about Jesus. And I began to reflect the time that Christ, when Christ saved me, and when I realized I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior, and I was so thankful that God made a way for me to be able to make it to heaven when I didn't deserve it in any form or fashion. And that if I would just come to God, that God provided the Lamb, that God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross and rose again, and that He paid the price necessary for you and me to be able to have forgiveness of sins. It's the greatest story ever told. And that even people, even in the days of Noah, who were so far away from God, and maybe you're here, and every imagination of your thought, of your heart, almost this whole past week, that if we put your life, your thoughts, your words, your actions on the big screen today, it would totally humiliate you, because you know that almost everything from this past week was pitiful. And even for you, Christ died on the cross, and you can get to heaven by grace. That means you don't deserve it. Through faith. What do I have to believe in? Jesus Christ. That there really was a man by the name of Jesus, that he really was the Son of God in a human body, that he really did die on a cross in your place so that you could be forgiven, that he really did raise again from the dead, overcoming death, and that he really would save you if you would believe in him. Chapter 2, verse number 8 goes like this. Ephesians 2, 8, and I'm done. For by grace, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. For by grace are you saved through faith. Somebody today might say, well, I thought I had to be a good person to get into heaven. There's none good. Not one. All we like sheep have gone away. The point of salvation through Jesus Christ is you can't, but God can. The story of the Old Testament is we mess it up, but in Christ, Christ's amazing grace can fix it up. And that you can be saved, for by grace are ye, y'all, saved through faith. And it is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's the gift, eternal life, given to you and I, when by faith we call upon Christ to be our Savior. And here comes the gift. Salvation isn't cheap, and it isn't free. It was very expensive, and it cost the Son of God his life. But it is free to you and me. And if you're here and you know you are a sinner, and that you have never personally called upon Christ, I would ask you very simply today, would you be willing to put your faith in Christ today to just believe when God said it that it's true? However simple this sounds, the only way I know I'm going to heaven is because I know God can't lie, and what he promised he would do. I can't see the Holy Spirit inside of me. I simply am living my life by faith to believe that if I would call upon the name of the Lord, that I would be saved. Because that's what God said. For by grace he is saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hearshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do. You do, you do, you do. What have I done to deserve your son? Sent to die for me. What can I give? I wanna live. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe. Why you do? Why you do? You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in.
Calvary, my sin crucified.